Those of you who didn't, like I said, Pastor Kinney announced it. We made two trips to the airport Sunday. We tried rescheduling with three different airlines. And we felt like there's that old comedic movie, Trains, Planes, and Automobiles. By the time we finally found out we couldn't get down there, and you even tried booking the train, three different airlines at Syracuse. Only American flies directly into Philly. They were going to send us to Washington Dulles Airport. And then we could sit there through the night, and at 6 o'clock in the morning, they would fly us to Boston. And as we got to Boston, maybe the flights wouldn't be canceled, and they'd send us on to Philadelphia. We'd get there 12:30, 1 o'clock, something like that. They weren't really sure. Judy had a 1:15 appointment. So, you know, there's an old Jewish proverb. When God closes a door, he opens a what? A window, right? So he opens a window, and all things work together for good. They don't seem good when you're going through it. But because the thing got canceled when Judy was making the calls Monday morning, we had to cancel the hotel room Sunday night, and they couldn't fly in individual pilots. They shut down the airline flights in there. And so she goes to call Monday morning, and the social worker at the Jefferson Cancer Center, they're one of the best in the country, and Dr. Sato is supposed to be one of the best with the oncology, she just doesn't fit any of the programs. She's got the wrong blood type. She's married to the wrong person. You know, that's how that works. Okay, and so she was talking to social worker, and she says, we haven't told you about this Eyes for Grace. Is it Eye on Grace Foundation. But I want to give you a phone number. So she gave us the phone number, and Judy called that. And it's a ministry. Judy talked to the founder, a Bible-believing, born-again Christian down in Alabama who has had the same eye surgery, had her cancer metastasized, and went to her lungs. It was already in her liver. It went to her breasts. It went to her internal organs. It went to her spine. It went to her hips. And that was 6 years ago. Okay, but she fit in one of the trial programs. But then Judy talking to her, she mentioned to her, and she says that we've supported people who've gone out and checked on, because we're looking at cryoablation. And she said, that works with some people and it can help. But the big thing with her, she says, can I give you my favorite scripture verse? And so God set up a divine appointment for Judy and I, and that woman encouraged her because she wasn't supposed to be here either. So I'd ask you just continue to pray as we travel out there. She's rescheduled August 3rd down in Philadelphia. We're traveling out to Wisconsin to meet with the oncology team there and see about that. Because right now we only know of the University of Wisconsin and the Mayo Clinic that does the cryoablation as far as treating her particular cancer. So if you could just remember that in prayer. And it was one of those situations, like I said, Judy and I, we went into the nursing home Saturday. I visited on seven floors, gave out 20 patriotic John and Romans, witnessed to people, prayed with them, sang with them, and my wife listened to three or four people on one floor and got a chance to witness to them. So God is good. I'm trying to get a date because, honestly, if someone can play the piano for us, it will help when we finally get the church service when they get us set back up for that. But again, we go in and we minister there. And every time I go out the door, Judy looks at me and says, you need to be good. Be nice. Be good. And you know, it made me think of the little boy who got in trouble with his mother. And he had problems and he'd been bad all day long. And his mother sent him to bed and said, you need to go to bed and you need to pray that God would change you. And that you could become a good little boy. And so he went to bed early, he didn't get his dinner, and he's there praying, and he's praying for his mother, and he's praying for his father, he's praying for his grandparents, he's praying for his friends, and he says, oh, by the way, Lord, if you want to, you could change me, and I could be a good boy, but if you don't want to, that's okay with me, I'm having a lot of fun doing what I'm doing. Okay, and sometimes that's the way we look at things, isn't it? Okay, now, we're going to be looking at hope tonight. Amen? And if you turn to Romans 15, we'll start there with one verse, and then we're going to go to a bunch of different verses tonight. Hopefully, I can finish this, because we will not be back next Wednesday. We might be gone a week. We might be gone 2 weeks, depending on what happens with treatments and what's going on there, because AJ wants us to visit the oncologist in, out in Mayo also. Okay, Romans chapter 15 and verse 13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in" what? "Hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." That's what makes Christians different. Amen? Go back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. "Therefore, being justified," verse 1, "by faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The world doesn't understand that. If you're truly saved, you have peace with God. When you start living for Him, you can have the peace of God working in your life. "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in" the what? "Hope in the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also." Do you? When this was going on, Judy's going, because I'm talking to the airlines. She's been, we had a divine appointment. The lady was bringing Judy around in the wheelchair and took us from the ticket place. We're going up. We go through TSA, and then she wheels us all the way to our, the what? The gate, and I'm looking there, and there's no planes at any of the gates. And there's no people at the desks at any of the gates. There's like 6 gates for American Airlines. Nobody's there. It's loaded with people, and I think they were loaded because all their flights got canceled. Okay, and I'm going, "Honey, there's no planes. It says we're supposed to be loading in about 20 minutes. And she's going, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, let me look around." And I walked around. I finally found an American Airlines stewardess who was waiting to catch a later plane to a different area. And she looked it up and she says, "Your flight got canceled 20 minutes ago." That was the second flight. The first one got canceled or postponed. We were supposed to leave right around 2, or a little early, right around that time. And it got postponed to 5:30. And then it got later. And Judy had talked to them and they switched us over to American because it was a direct flight. And we were supposed to get in at 8:30. By the time we got back to the other one, that flight had all been messed up. We couldn't have caught that if we wanted to, and they're not sure they were going to get out of Washington, D.C. So we checked with Delta, and then she called the train station, and she's looking at me, and she goes, "You're doing good. You haven't killed anybody." And I said, "Well, you've been praying, and I hope I can be better." All right? So it says, "Not only do we glory in tribulations," that's after you've gone through them. You know that, right? "Also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience" what? "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us." The lady pushing us around, I looked at her, she's pushing Judy in the thing, and I'm carrying all the bags. I said, "You don't know this, but you know what you are?" And she goes, "No, I don't." She goes, "You're our divine appointment." Turned out to be a saved lady who was discouraged with a few things. Lovely personality. She got all excited. She was talking. I learned about her children. I learned about her. She's asking God, you know, if we could pray that God would help her maintain her health so she can continue working. She was a sweet lady, and she was very, very nice. But we kind of like we witnessed to her, found out she was saved, and then you know what we did? We had a time of fellowship as Judy's being pushed around the airport. So you never know. When you look for it and you try to be nice, God will give you a divine appointment. So again, when you're going through tribulation, look for what God would use you to do. You with me? Ephesians 4 and verse 4 says, "There was one body and one spirit, even as we are called in one hope of your calling." We have a hope that the world doesn't have. When she's having that conversation with the founder of that foundation that is giving us money to travel with, or I should say, they'll reimburse us. And she, Judy, talked to the lady on the phone, didn't know she was the founder, looked up the website, and when she went, she filled out the application, and you got a text or you got a phone call? She got a text that says, because you talked with me, you two are completely approved. And so we turned in receipts for gas, lodging, and tolls. They just don't pay for food. And when I'm eating, sometimes that can be more than the others. Okay. But it was just, you know, just one of those things. God worked through that. I want you to understand, for we are saved, Romans 8, 24 and 25 says, we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. I want you to see that, because tribulation worketh patience. I have told so many people, I know Pastor Kenny does the same type of thing. You go to visit somebody in the hospital and you're telling them, God maybe has you here for a reason. Maybe it's so I can come in and talk to the person in the bed next to you. Maybe it's so that you could witness to a nurse. You never know what it's going to be. You don't know what God's going to do. I know that we're here for a purpose, and that's to give Him glory. Amen? Definition of hope: a desire of some good accompanied with expectation of obtaining it. Confidence in a future event. I know this. Judy and I pray every day. You know what we pray? We pray, Lord, we want to go up in the rapture together. We're praying for the trumpet, the voice of the archangel, and the shout of God. Okay, you know, the Lord doesn't see fit to do that, we always go back, and I tell people all the time when they're going through it, you need to remember God is always good and always right. We don't always understand, and when we don't understand, go back to the first point. God is always good and right. So expectation of obtaining a confidence in a future event, hope, that which gives hope, a belief that amounts to certainty. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I'm just getting through the introduction on this. Romans chapter 12. You all thought Pastor Kenny was preaching tonight, so you gave him extra time. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. That's hypocrisy, okay? I didn't tell you to go look the word up. Basically, dissimulation is a form of hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring what? Preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Sometimes the tribulation puts you on your knees so that you will pray, and then the Holy Spirit can do that work in your life so that you can have the hope when you can't see the outcome. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. It tells you to rejoice there in hope. So now I want you to see, we're going to look at some different forms of hope given in the Word of God. Different words describing it. So I want you to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I want you to know as we go through this, the hope that we're looking at, it affects the way you act. Not because you've obtained, but because of the one who's promised that you will. Amen? Okay. 2 Thessalonians, let me get there. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, because that's who's your heavenly Father. If your earthly father wasn't that good, you have a different one. because you're part of a different family. If you have a good earthly father, your heavenly father's better. Okay? Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God even our Father, which hath loved us and given us an everlasting consolation and what? Good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. It's a good hope that changes you and allows you to have the ability to be established in every good word. A word fitly spoken is like what? Apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. So it's good words. Okay. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Good word and good work. It's a good hope. Turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Look at verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect. Why? Because the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to who? To Christ. The law shows us our sinful nature and condition. You got to agree with that? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you say you've never sinned, you just sinned. Amen? Young people, how many times have you got to tell a lie to be a liar? One time. How many times you got to take something from your brother, your sister, or in your family? Or the cookie that mom doesn't know about to be a thief? One time. I will set no unclean thing before mine eyes. That's really a problem today with the internet, isn't it? How many times? One time. If a man looketh upon a woman, lust in his heart, never touched her, never talked to her, it's sin. The law shows us that we're lawbreakers. Think of the man out in California. I've got a book by him. I can't think of his name. He goes and witnesses out on the Muscle Beach and other places. And what he does is he goes through and starts asking questions. And he goes like he's doing a questionnaire and people answer the questions. And he starts asking them questions about the Ten Commandments. Ray Comfort. And he uses that, the purpose he uses it for is to show people that they are sinners. And they go, well, I'm a pretty good person. I never killed anybody, and I don't do this, and I don't do that. And he starts, and he gives them, and he says, did you know that God's word, and he goes through, and he says, have you ever, yeah, well, everybody's done that. Well, okay, did you know anything about this one? He goes through the Ten Commandments. And pretty soon, he goes, according to what the word of God says, you violated, and most of the time people violate 5 to 10 of them. I bet you everybody in here at some point, you violated 5. If you hadn't, and you tell me a lie, you just violated one of them. Okay? And he goes, if that's true, then can a loving, righteous, holy God have you in his presence? No. So what does that mean? It means I'm going to hell. You don't know how to witness? Just ask them about the Ten Commandments in a loving manner. Shouldn't tell them all have sinned because all need a Savior, don't they? See, the law is our schoolmaster. It says, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a what? Better hope did, by which we draw nigh to God. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. All those that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's a better hope, not based in me and my ability to keep the law, because I can't. It's based in Jesus Christ. It's really been encouraging to me this year. I've had different ones of our young children in this church come up and they go, Pastor, I want you to know, I prayed for Jesus to be my Savior this week. I prayed for Jesus to save me today. We pray for the kids. Suffer little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. They need Jesus to save them just as much as anybody else does, don't they? And then if you raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, maybe you can keep them from some of the junk that you've seen and gone through. It's a better hope. It's not only a good hope, it's a better hope. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Verse 11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And people say, what about the ones in Africa? When they deny creation, they deny God. You say, if you hadn't gone and given them the gospel and they rejected it, they wouldn't have heard it, and God wouldn't hold them accountable. He holds everybody accountable to the light given. You don't understand that? Ask Pastor Kinney about that after the service. It says in verse 11, for the grace of God bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Why? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So it's a good hope. It's a better hope. It's a blessed hope. The blessed hope, the appearing of Jesus Christ. Someone said something to me and they said, God is never in a hurry. And I says, I know. And I says, it's kind of like that Ray Stevens song, Along Came Jones. If you don't know what that is, I won't sing it for you because Pastor Kenny's looking at me. He's going, no, don't do that. But it's slow talking, slow walking Jones, and the girl is tied to the railroad tracks and the trains are coming. And there's no hope. And then all of a sudden, there was, along came Jones. Slow walking, slow talking Jones. And he unties her and gets her off. God always seems to come at the last minute. You know what people do? They quit before then many times. And they don't get to see the deliverance that God will give. You still with me? Okay. Blessed hope. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. You ready? I won't go back that far. I'm going to go to verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ, where? In you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. You know what it is? It's a glorious hope. I am not who I was before Jesus. You are not who you were before Jesus. Philippians 1:6, he that hath begun a good work in you will what? Perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. It's a glorious hope. You ready? 1 Peter. It's good, it's better, it's blessed, the blessed hope, it's glorious. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 3. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of yourselves. No. Who are kept by what? Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. He delivered you from the penalty of your sin, the power of your sin, or penalty of your sin. He's delivering you from the power of your sin in your life, that sin in your life day by day when you look to Him. He delivers you from the presence of that sin when your salvation is complete. Face to face with Christ my Savior, what will it be? It's a lively hope. Christians should not be dead. Not for the world. We're dead in trespasses and sin. We are made alive through Jesus Christ. It's a lively hope. I don't know about you, but I enjoy my salvation. My friend was helping me, Bob, across the street. For Christmas, he bought me a brush guard to go on my golf cart. See, because he gets pulled around the woods in the same golf cart. It's electric. There's no gas smell. It has a winch on the front. You people bought me the golf cart. Okay? And since then, we put a lift kit in it so it sits higher. I can drive over things. Okay? And then we put a winch on the front so I could get pulled out of the stuff so I tried to drive over and couldn't get over. And we ordered that. He helped me install that. And then for Christmas, he looked for 4 hours to find one that would fit my golf cart that wasn't going to cost $1,800. And he brought it over as a Christmas present. And we finally put it on today. And we had to adapt it because now there's so many not regulation parts on this thing that you make things work, right? So we didn't put that together. And he had a friend visiting and he was helping us there. Name is Kevin, and we call him Trapper and stuff, and he's there, and he's talking to me about, they have a camp up near Word of Life, up in the Adirondacks. And he goes, that used to be a weird place to be near when I was growing up, Brian. I go, what do you mean? He says, they broadcast stuff over the loudspeakers up there all the time. I got talking to Bobby about his salvation experience and when he got saved, and the fact he got baptized as a 9-year-old at Bethel Baptist Church at the corner. It's no longer called Bethel Baptist Church. And he was talking about when he accepted Christ and when he got baptized. And so, you know, we're looking at that and you think about that, and I'm realizing lively hope kept through the power of God. Turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Start at the beginning. He's talking to one of the preacher boys. Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote the letter, the Epistle of Titus. In chapter 3, verse 1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. We are not to be what? Lawbreakers. God ordained human government, whether you like it or not. I prayed for President Obama. I pray for President Trump. I pray for Governor Hochul. Pray she gets saved. Pray she gets taken out of office, but I pray she gets saved. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Who was the meekest man who ever walked the face of this earth? Human men, Moses, meekest of all men. Meekest who ever walked, Jesus. Meek doesn't mean weak. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the what? Hope of what? It's an eternal hope. It's not a temporary hope. We had a conversation, Judy's having a conversation with that lady from that foundation. And because she's talking, the lady's talking about knowing the doctors very well in Philadelphia. And she says, they have a problem. And she and Judy are talking about, they have a problem. Because they're oncologists. All they're trying to do is delay death. And they don't understand it. When Christians come before them and Christians are hoping for healing, they're hoping for this or that, and then they die the same as... But you know what we know as Christians? It's appointed unto man once to die. We're all going to die. It's how we live. If you're not ready to die, you can't live pleasing God. And she's talking about it and talking about the idea. She was so excited because when we were packed to go, she made room in her suitcase, her medical bag, because we get a free bag to take because it's got her all her drops and her pills and everything, and they can't charge you for that. They don't tell you that. If you have a medical reason, you take a medical bag, and it goes free. Well, she's putting clothes in the medical bag and getting her things because all I was taking was my camo bag. And you know what she had me putting in there? John and Romans, and what must they do to be saved? She says, because we're going to talk to those doctors. They don't have any hope. Well, we'll take them with us out to Wisconsin, and when we fly back down, we got to work around because people, our flights are already scheduled for August 3rd. They've already called us, the Mercy flights, their Angel flights. Everything is all set already again. And what I'm saying to you with that is it's an eternal hope. And you know what we need to tell people about? What is this life but a vapor that appeareth for a little time that passes away? We need to be concerned with eternity. It's an eternal hope. Being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I don't know about you, but that makes it peaceful. Because when Judy's talking to, what's the lady's name? Ashley, the founder of that. And Judy and her are talking, and she says, no matter when God takes us, you know what? We win-win. You know, the Apostle Paul, once he got saved, went around trying to get people to kill him. Be absent from the body, present with the Lord, man. It all depends on how you look at it, doesn't it? Okay. Acts chapter 2. See, it's a good hope, it's a better hope, it's a blessed hope, it's a glorious hope, it's a lively hope, it's an eternal hope. Acts chapter 2, in verse 22, Peter's preaching, and he says, ye men of Israel, hear these words, verse 22, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall what? Rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. When you set your affections on things above and not things here on this earth, it is a restful hope. A restful hope. One more and we're done. Hebrews chapter 6. It's a good hope, it's a better hope, it's a blessed hope, it's a glorious hope, it's a lively hope, it's an eternal hope, It's a restful hope. Hebrews chapter 6. Look at verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. What does that mean? It can't be changed. Confirmed it by an oath. When God gives his word, God is not a man that he should lie. That by two immutable things, which was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the what? Hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that which within the veil, the whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. It's a good hope. It's a better hope. It's a blessed hope. It's a glorious hope. It's a lively hope. It's an eternal hope. It's a restful hope, and it is secure. It's secure. I'll go to hell when my Savior sins. It's secure in Him. We need to live in that hope. We need to realize that. When you pray, things happen in the spiritual realm that the world doesn't understand. And you need to bring your petitions, your prayers, your supplications before the God of hope. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you might abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And all God's people said, amen. Good night and God bless.